I'd like to start reading in the first verse. We'll read verses 1 through 3. It says, "Now in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, that he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom, and put it also in writing, saying, Thus saith Cyrus, king of Persia, the Lord God of heaven hath given me all the kingdoms of the earth, and he hath charged me to build him an house at Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Who is there among you of all his people? His God be with him, and let him go up to Jerusalem, which is in Judah, and build the house of the Lord God of Israel. He is the God, which is in Jerusalem." This is really a striking passage. We find that the Lord dealt with Cyrus, who was, he was a pagan king, said he was king of Persia. Persia included some of the boundaries of countries that we know today, like Iran and Iraq and Turkey and Central Asia. These were pieces and parts of this land was part of Persia. Cyrus was not too far removed from Nebuchadnezzar. You remember when Babylon fell after that, but Nebuchadnezzar was king, and then history tells us that maybe might have been a few of his sons that might have reigned for just a few years. But then we read about Belshazzar. We know about the handwriting on the wall. That was King Belshazzar. And then you remember when Daniel interpreted the handwriting on the wall, that what followed the fall of Belshazzar came King Darius. Darius was king when Daniel was put in the lion's den. And then following Darius came King Cyrus. So that's who we're talking about this morning. The passage that we read was King Cyrus of Persia. And the Lord spoke to his heart and moved upon his heart in such a powerful way that this pagan God made a decree. And not only did he just say it to a few people, but this passage says that he made a proclamation, but it also says that he put it in writing. He took action being moved upon the Spirit of God, and it wasn't action to build himself something this time around, but rather it was to build something in honor of the Lord God in heaven. And that was according to the will of God and the prophecies of Jeremiah and Isaiah, some 150 years before Cyrus was ever king, Isaiah was a prophet that actually prophesied and named King Cyrus by name and said that Jerusalem and the temple in Jerusalem would be rebuilt. Now, isn't that something? You remember the words in the New Testament where they said they had a more sure word of prophecy. I mean, they saw the lame that were risen, the blind received their sight, but it spoke of a more sure word of prophecy years before Christ ever came. It was prophesied exactly when he was going to come, exactly where he was going to be born. In the book of Daniel, all of the prophecies that were given in Daniel with the kingdoms that would come and fall and another kingdom that would come. Remember Nebuchadnezzar's dream? And Daniel interpreted that dream and told him that here's what's going to happen. And he prophesied and told exactly what was going to happen on which kingdoms were going to fall, which kingdoms were going to come. Where do we see that? This came by the Spirit of God revealing what was going to happen in the future down to the details. And a long time before King Cyrus came, it was prophesied in Jeremiah, it was prophesied in Isaiah, that there was going to come a time when the temple was going to be destroyed, but then at the appointed time, they were going to be allowed to go back and rebuild. To me, it's amazing. It's encouraging. It strengthens my faith. The people that say, "Well, I don't believe the Bible." That's just people's letters that they write down. I believe sometimes those folks haven't given themselves to know what all the Bible contains. All of the things that were foretold that came true just like it said, to say nothing of the power that comes with it. Well, King Cyrus was a part of it. And so we read this morning where King Cyrus gave this proclamation because he was moved by the Spirit of God. God moved upon him to issue this proclamation, to put this in writing. And what was it that he said in the third verse? "Who is there among you of all his people? Let him go and rebuild the temple." Well, this is my message this morning. I am inspired this morning and challenged to deliver this message to you today and to me, for me to be inspired by the words that we have read this morning. Who here among us today? Who in this congregation this morning is willing to be stirred in spirit by the Spirit of God, not the spirit of man, not the spirit of the world? Who here, who among us is willing to be stirred to action, to be moved, to attend to the temple of the living God according to His will? I want to be named in that number this morning. I want to say, "Here am I, Lord. Send me." Lord, I don't want to be left out of the number that is willing to attend to the temple of the living God. Lord, if you are calling for a people, Lord, as human as we are, as frail as we are, as much in need as we are, Lord, if that's who you're calling, and it is, if you're calling for a people that'll be named by your name, Lord, if you're calling for a people willing to attend to a temple that your Spirit is willing to dwell in, Lord, I want to be named in that number. I want to go. I want to be faithful. And where is the temple of God? Where is He calling us to? Jerusalem? Is the Lord calling us this morning to raise our hand and be willing to go to Israel? Be willing to go and take our hammer and nails and some wood and begin rebuilding a temple in Jerusalem? No. You don't have to go very far. You don't have to travel very far to attend the temple of the living God. Because we read in 1 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter and the 16th verse, says, "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you?" And if any man defiles the temple of God, him will God destroy, because the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. What a wonderful privilege this morning to be allowed to be the temple of the living God, where the Spirit of the Lord is willing to come and dwell and move in our hearts and lives and bring. We heard about truth this morning, and what is truth? The Lord wants us to be the dwelling place where His Spirit would come. Remember when the veil in the temple was rent, when Jesus was on the cross and His arms were spread and He died and He said, "It is finished." And when He said that the centurion was looking on and he said, "Surely this was the Son of God." And at the same time, there was a veil that was in the temple separating the holiest of holies where the Spirit of God dwelt. But when Jesus said, "It is finished," that veil on its own accord, without intervention from man, it ripped from top to bottom and it fell away and it opened up that place where the Spirit of God dwelt that only the high priest could go into one time a year. But now the plan of God was finished and Jesus Christ made atonement for us, and the Spirit of God came out of the holiest of holies and He went out into the world today looking to for whosoever is willing for His Spirit now to come and live and dwell in us. What a privilege, what a blessing. The Lord is asking us today, who is willing? Who is willing to be the temple of the living God? Who is willing to go and attend to the temple, to the body that was intended to be a temple of the living God? I want to say this morning that the Spirit of God wants to move us to action. He wants our spirits to be moved in us. He wants us to be moved, to be willing, to open ourselves up and say, "Lord, would You come and would You dwell in me? Lord, I will make You the priority of my life. I will do whatever it takes to attend to the temple of the living God." And I'm reminded this morning of David in the 27th Psalm. David said it this way. He said, "One thing have I desired, one thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the temple of the Lord, that I may behold, dwell in the house of the Lord." And I'm going to seek after it, and I want to dwell in it, and I want to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in it. Well, back in David's time, it was also a temple, a tabernacle that was made with hands. But his desire, more than anything else, something that he said he would seek after, was that he wanted to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of his life, that he could behold the beauty of it, that he would be able to inquire in it. Well, under this new dispensation, we are intended to be the temple of God. And this morning, I want to desire one thing more than anything else in my life. Today, I want to desire that I have a personal experience being the temple of the living God. I want to make that my priority. I want to behold the beauty of it. I want to experience the presence of the Lord in my life. I want to plant myself beside rivers of living water, not dead water. You know, we have bayous in Louisiana. There's a lot of bayous, and it could be debated whether those bayous are alive or dead. They're alive enough that I don't want to get into them very much. But I also know this, that I grew up where lots of the water that you saw, it came in and it went out. And it was clear, and you could, I've drank it before. I was thirsty, and just get down and drink out of some of those rivers and streams. And the Lord wants us to be planted by rivers of living water. He wants us to be willing to open up ourselves and not just plant ourselves anywhere, but He wants us to be willing to plant ourselves where His Spirit can bring life to our souls, where we can bring honor and glory to Him. I want to be a people that among the people that plants myself by the rivers of water that bring forth fruit in season, spiritual fruit. I don't want to bring forth fruit that just withers and dies and goes away and causes more harm than it does good and is poisoned by the spirit of the world. But I want to plant myself by the rivers of living water. And I want to be alive. And I want to bring forth fruit to the glory of God. Who here today, who here this morning is willing to say, count me in? Who here is willing to say, Lord, I want to be one of the ones that attends to the temple of God? We live in a world, we live in a society that is so full of high and exalted places, idols really, that aren't of God, that are captivating people's attention, captivate our hearts. So many things in the world today draws us in and consumes us to the point that we don't attend to the temple of God. It seems like so often we're so willing to give our time to so many things that are just going to pass away, that aren't going to be here anymore, that do a disservice to the temple of God. I know we live in this world, and we're going to spend our time, yes, on things that will pass away. We have jobs. We have homes to attend to. We have grass to mow. And it's okay to have good entertainment. I like, and I'm involved with all of those things. This morning, the Lord doesn't want us to do these things to the exclusion of attending to the temple of God. That is the most important thing that we can do. And yet, it seems like that the spirit of the world and the influences that are out there, it has captivated people. It is consuming people. And it's causing us to not put priority where priority should be. Too often. Not always, but too often. And people fall asleep spiritually. People become dead spiritually. They become absent the Spirit of the Lord. In the 17th chapter of Acts, and we won't turn there, but if you remember, Paul went to a place called Athens. And when he went there, he looked and he saw all of these gods that they were worshiping. There wasn't just one idol. There were all of these idols that were erected. And if you remember, there was one idol that says, to an unknown god. And all of the others, it was the god of this and the god of that and the god of this thing over here. And when Paul saw all of these idols, it said that he was stirred in spirit. Are you stirred in spirit today because of all of the idols that are around us? Yes, I know. We don't go to town and we don't see these graven images that says the sun to the sun god and Mother Earth and the god of rain, and we don't see that so much. But there are gods out in the world around us that have captured the hearts of people, that have drawn them away from serving the one true God. And they come, those gods come disguised as things that maybe are not wrong in of themselves, but they can become gods to us. Food can be a god to us. Our computer screens can become gods to us. Our phones, entertainment, fashion, influence, what people think about us. We can give these things exalted places in our lives where they take priority. They take our time. They consume our time. Capture our heart. Money, material things, wealth, ease. We're a people that we don't like to be ill at ease. We're people that if something's wrong, we want it fixed yesterday. And why is that? It's because we become accustomed to having options to so many things, fixes to so many things now. And if we're not careful with all of these things that we begin to allow to consume us in our lives, we begin to neglect the most important thing that God has made available, the privilege that He has offered to us, and that is that we be a temple where His Spirit would be willing to dwell in us. I don't want to mess up. I don't want to err in neglecting giving my heart to attending to the temple of God that He's given to me to attend to. Paul saw that idol that said to the unknown God, and he says, let me tell you about who that is. And he began to preach them a gospel message on Mars Hill that day and preach to them about the one true God, the God of the heavens and the God of earth, the God that is yet still reigning today. That is the God we serve. That is the God that I want to be preeminent in my life. I don't want to be consumed by all of the things in the world today. That my spirit is not stirred. That when the Lord comes and He speaks to me with a still, small voice, that I don't hear it because I'm so consumed with so many other things. But I want to be alive to the Spirit of God. I want to be alive to doing His will in the midst of all of the things around us that are so unlike God. There was a prophecy given in the 32nd chapter of Isaiah. Maybe we'll read it. Isaiah 32, says women, but this morning this is to us all. In the 9th verse, Isaiah 32:9, it says, rise up, ye women that are at ease. At ease. Hear my voice, ye careless daughters. Give ear unto my speech. Many days and years shall ye be troubled, ye careless women, for the vintage shall fail, the gathering shall not come. Tremble, ye women that are at ease. Be troubled, ye careless ones. Well, this appears to be a prophecy of desolation that was coming. Perhaps the the destruction of Jerusalem years down the road. But I believe that this message is a message of the Lord that is sent to us too. The church is referred to as the bride of Christ, a woman. And it's appropriate that the message of Isaiah reached the hearts of the entire church down to us as individuals, that we rise up and that we give ear and that we tremble at the word of the Lord and be stirred in spirit to action for the Lord, as Cyrus was. Cyrus was a pagan god, and yet the Spirit of the Lord moved on him such that it changed what he probably otherwise would have done. I want to be moved by the Spirit of the Lord to action that is pleasing to the Lord. I want to attend to the temple of the Lord that He has given to us. And we can allow so much in this life to stir us, to move us, to the exclusion of being stirred in our souls. And we allow ourselves to be stirred by the dictates and the responsibilities and the influences of so many of the spirits that are around us in the world, and we fail to put ourselves in position for the Spirit of the Lord to deal with our spirits. Folks, we have to be deliberate about this. We have to be purposeful. We can't just live our lives with abandon and give ourselves to whatever we look at and says, well, technically that's not sin. Well, is that sin? Well, no, that's not sin. That should be okay. What about this? And we're missing the broader picture of how important it is that we put ourselves in a place, open up our minds and our hearts, create space in our minds that we can be stirred by the Spirit of the Lord in a way that reaches our spirits. Because if we don't do that, we can become spiritually sleepy. We can become at ease and miss the danger that's in front of us. Not that long ago, we read out of the third chapter of Revelation where the angel, remember, the angel was speaking to the different churches, and the one at Laodicea that was lukewarm, he said, "Thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing." Thou sayest. I'm afraid sometimes we can become too satisfied. We can become too comfortable where we are. We can get in a rut. And in our minds, in our hearts, we might not say out loud, "Oh, I'm good, I'm rich, I'm increased with goods, I have need of nothing." I don't know if there's anybody here that would actually say that out loud. And yet sometimes I wonder if that's how we're living our lives, where we live as if we don't recognize that we have need of the Lord. We live as if we don't recognize that we need to be stirred and moved by the Spirit of the Most High God. He was speaking of those that were lukewarm. I don't want to be lukewarm. I don't want to be lukewarm. I want to be alive when the Lord comes back, and He's going to come back, and I'm going to meet Him. I don't want to be of the number of the lukewarm people. There are going to be those that have nothing, that made a choice that they're not going to serve the Lord. By choice, some of them. But there's going to be others that knew of the truth and knew of the Lord, and they wanted to serve Him, and they loved Him, but they were lukewarm. They weren't alive and hot and didn't live with the Lord as their priority. They didn't go out of their way with purpose to plant themselves in places where the Spirit of the Lord could deal with their hearts and feed them with what they needed to be fed with. Amos said, Amos 6 and 1, "Woe unto them that are at ease in Zion. Woe unto them that are at ease in Zion. And he goes on a couple chapters later in the 8th chapter. And he said, behold, the days are coming, saith the Lord God, where I'm going to send a famine on the land. And it isn't going to be a famine of because you're thirsty for water or you're hungry for bread. But I'm going to send a famine of hearing of the word of the Lord. I'm going to send that kind of famine. Well, why? Is the Lord not wanting us to hear the word of the Lord? No, that isn't it at all. It's that if we're not careful, we can allow so many of the temporal things to stir our flesh while we allow the stirring of the Spirit of the Lord to be put on the back burner. And we don't make that a priority. I sometimes fear for myself and others. Do we not put the Lord on hold? You know those old phones, they had this button that says hold. We had one where I worked. You can do it with your phones too. Somebody, a call comes in and it can say hold and accept. You can hit that button, hold and accept. And you can get done with what you're talking about and then you can hit the other and return. Do we ever do that with the Lord? When the word of the Lord is coming, or the Lord would have us live in a certain way, do we ever say, hold on just a second, push the hold button. And then we want to attend to our other things, and then when we're done, then we come, okay, Lord, we can talk now. I don't want to put the Lord on hold. You know that we can do that in church service sometimes? People can come into church service and allow other things to distract them. And it's like, the Lord's trying to talk to us, and then we zone out. We're here in body, but we're not here in spirit anymore. Our minds are a long ways away. And it's like we pushed the button that says hold. Put God on hold. And we put hold. Say, I'll be back. And then we come back. Do we get to take off where we left off when we do that with God, I wonder? I'm not sure that we can. He's God. I'm the created. He's the creator. I don't want to put the Lord on hold. I don't want to be stirred by so many other things that I fail to give God preeminence in my life. And it's not just in church service, don't get me wrong. It's how we live our lives. Where the Lord says, this is the way, walk ye in it. And we walk in it until it's not convenient. Because something else begins to stir us, and then we deviate from the way that the Lord would have us to go. He's saying, no, this way. Here's the light. Come this way. Look on me. And we're looking on Him until we hear things and we see things and we taste things and that sound better to us. I don't want to do that. I don't want to experience a famine of hearing from the Lord because I have made a choice to put other things in front of the Lord. Now I want to say it this way. Where the Spirit of God is absent, famine is present. Folks, where the Spirit of God is absent, famine is present. And if famine is allowed to persist, death often follows. I don't want to die. I don't want to experience famine. I don't want to have experience an absence of the Spirit of God in my life. I want to be alive. I want to be stirred in spirit to attend to the temple of the living God. So I'd like to end this morning with this exhortation. When the Lord called Matthew as a disciple, you remember Matthew was a tax collector, and Matthew was sitting at his, I believe they called it a receipt of exchange. He was collecting taxes, and when the Lord walked by, he looked at Matthew and he said, come. And it said that Matthew, he immediately got up and he went and he followed. And he left his place of familiarity where it would have been easy to remain. He left the place that perhaps he could get a vision of his security. If I continue to do this, it's familiar and it's secure and it'll meet the needs that I have. But the Lord came by and he said, Matthew, come. And the scripture tells us that he got up and he followed. Folks, we can get comfortable where we are. We can become too comfortable in our lives to the point that when the Lord says, come, we're so engrossed and so entrenched and perhaps so much even in a rut of our lifestyle that we don't come. We can get too comfortable with where we are spiritually. We can get too comfortable with religious practices that we have to the place that they become a form. And we begin to worship the form as a God more than we worship the Spirit of God that was supposed to be the reason why it was there in the first place. You follow? The Lord doesn't want us to worship religious idols either. The Lord wants us to be alive in our spirits where our priority is, Lord, what would you have me to do? Lord, help me to hear your voice. Lord, help me to plant myself in those places where I can better hear your voice. If that means setting something aside, if that means rerouting, if that means laying some things down, opening up capacity in my mind, in my heart, with extra time and stillness and quietness. Lord, help me to do that. Because I want to be alive. I want to take seriously the responsibility I have to put myself in places that my spirit is not just stirred by the spirit of the world, but it is stirred by the very Spirit of God, pursuing less of the meat that perisheth and more of that tendeth to everlasting life. For the scripture says in the 24th chapter of Matthew and also in the 12th chapter of Luke, in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Who then is faithful and wise servant? Question mark. Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. This morning, may the Lord give us wisdom as we endeavor to attend to the temple of God, present our bodies as a living sacrifice that is holy and acceptable. Holy, what does that mean? Are we supposed to be scared of the word holy? No. We present our bodies committed, dedicated, set apart unto God, that we can give the Lord ourselves as a place that He would be pleased to dwell in. I want to plant myself by living waters, that I might experience the peace of God, and that when He comes back and calls my name, I'll be found alive, and I'll be found about my Father's business. Pray for me because I want to be true. Amen.